Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Yes, indeed. Did I mention beer? Lots of it. Plenty of it. You need to stock up for the weekend. It's going to be cold. Football.
Oh, and by the way, on Monday, there's also football.
Lots of football all weekend. Games Kevin might even watch that doesn't involve a balance beam. Pickle bar second to none. Love the barrel pickles. Unbelievably good. And you can go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Time now to bring in Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com. It's never too early, Charlie, to talk about the NFL draft.
Great to be back with you guys. It's always a pleasure.
I know you've been able to post up three rounds. Obviously, when you look at the NFL, and we ran through a list of, I think 10 teams that we felt needed a quarterback, including the first two teams on the board, Tampa Bay and Tennessee. I'm going to assume that at least as of right now, you would have Jameis Winston in the one spot at quarterback and Mariota in the two spot, right?
Yep, that's how I have them.
Why do you have them where they are? I'm sure the reasons are all the same as the rest of us, but still.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's all about the pocket passes.
Yeah.
You know, and the NFL, you just, in order to get consistent quarterback play year in and year out, you have to have that pocket passer and someone who's comfortable working out of the pocket. And Jameis Winston is just an absolute stud as a pocket passer from a prospect perspective with his field vision and anticipation, his size and durability. He's really just tailor-made for that. And I think the NFL team that gets him is going to be really impressed with his football IQ already on the chalkboard. So to me, that's just what separates Winston as a prospect. And you know, off the field, Mariota definitely is the better of the two.
Yeah.
But on the field as well, wins out with NFL teams. So I think Winston's going to be the guy.
All right. Off the field, we know about his issues. And that will be factored in by some people. So there's no question about that. But on the field, his sophomore year was not what his freshman year was because, as I pointed out, defensive coordinators don't play golf in the offseason. They break down your tapes. They had no tape breakdown on him a year ago.
Exactly.
What about his ability to what apparently he didn't adjust very well. What was your thought on how he played and his on-field decision-making that led to many, many more interceptions this year?
Yeah, and I think part of it was the interceptions weren't all on him. You know, he had a lot of young receivers. He lost his big receiver, Kelvin Benjamin, a first-round pick to the Panthers. Devontae Freeman was a really good running back for them. The running game wasn't there for them a lot early in the year until they went to the freshman Dalvin Cook. But even then, there was a drop-off from what Freeman brought the team a year earlier. So I think the supporting cast wasn't as strong around him. The offensive line had some issues as well. And I think just the collection of all of that and the DCs, like you said, having tape on them kind of combined to make it a bit of a harder year for him. But at the same time, you did see his ability to lead comebacks. You know, Florida State should have lost a bunch of games if it weren't for Winston leading a second half comeback,
right,
and producing points in clutch time. So I definitely think he has that ability, though, to adjust and to rally late in the game and push his team to a win.
Mariota, when when you look at Jameis Winston, thick up top, really a thick build altogether. I mean, it looks like he can take some punishment along the way. You don't want him to, but it looks like he has the ability to take it and pop right back up. Mariota's far more slight a build than he has. Does that play into some of what you're talking about, too, in terms of his build and what he can and can't take?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Winston, he looks reminiscent of Big Ben or Andrew Luck, you know, those big-bodied guys that also have athletic ability when things break down and can use that to get out of sacks and extend plays. And Mariota has that, but he doesn't have the size, and I think that the size of the build, you know, does matter to teams in terms of thinking, is he going to be able to take the punishment and stay in the lineup. So I think that works against Marcus. But at the same time, I think once he gets into an NFL strength and conditioning program, he'll add to his build and he'll be, you know, a good 20 pounds heavier probably 3 or 4 years from now than what he is at this time. So he's still a developing kid, and I think he'll improve on that as he ages.
He's also accurate when he throws the ball, and offensive coordinators love when you can lead guys in yards after the catch.
Yeah, and a great point. I mean, Mariota definitely puts the ball out in front. You see that consistently when he hits those seam routes or sideline routes where the receivers don't break stride. It's just right in the middle of the route, and they can just take off downfield. So that accuracy is definitely an asset for Mariota, and I think if he goes to the right team, he's going to be a superb quarterback.
Who's next on the board? Is it Brett Hundley of UCLA or somebody else?
I have Hundley rated fourth. I think the next quarterback right now is a bit of a sleeper, and that's Garrett Grayson, the Colorado State quarterback.
Very good.
And, you know, I just think when you look at his game, he has that pocket passing, he has field vision, a strong arm. He's kind of like Jimmy Garoppolo in terms of playing style. And I think as the process gets going, you're going to hear more about him, and he's going to be one of those guys that rises up. And NFL GMs told me that he's a favorite to be their third-rated quarterback, you know, going into the All-Star games and combine and whatnot. So he's definitely in the discussion. It'll just be interesting to see how he handles Senior Bowl and the workouts and the chalkboard and what's coming his way. But he completed 65% of his passes for 4,000 yards and great touchdown to interception ratio, so he has a lot going for him.
And he had Jim McElwain as his head coach and essentially his offensive coordinator, and whether it was Alabama or Colorado State when he was the OC there or the head coach there, they ran a pro style attack.
Yep, he worked under center, he, you know, worked with the ground game and play action passing, and so yeah, he has a good NFL pedigree as far as the coaching he got in college, and I think that once the Senior Bowl gets going here and he shows his arm live to these NFL teams and they see his quick release, I think you could hear his name pop up a lot as a hot prospect.
All right, and you said you have Hundley fourth right now. What do you like about him, but also what makes him fourth?
Well, I have him fourth because of the field vision and the pocket passing that he still needs to develop. You see it in flashes. Against Arizona State, it was really impressive what he did out of the pocket. But then other games, he really struggled against Virginia, Kansas State, Utah. He took 10 sacks. He's taken like over 100 sacks the past three seasons. So he has to develop the ability to, you know, drop back, hang tough in the face of a rush, and work through progressions and throw. He's been, you know, too inclined to take off and run when that first read is covered. And I think in the NFL, he'll end up getting injured if he does that. I think he just needs more development. And some of those quarterbacks never come around. So you just have to be concerned about that when it comes to Hundley.
Okay, off this topic, but at least an initial read. Mike Hull had an outstanding year and was a second-team All-American And on top of that, of course, Jack Ham and I watched him every single game during the course of his career. We know how impeccable his instincts are. Does that come to play when you look at him on the board? Probably as an outside linebacker, not as an inside, but does that come to play on your board at all?
Yeah, definitely. And that's how I have him rated, too, as an inside and outside kind of guy, depending on the team that drafts them, whether they're running a 4-3 or 3-4. But I think he has underrated athleticism, and I think that he's going to impress teams in workouts. I think he's going to do better than expected as far as running well and moving well in the cone drills, and I think the tape plays well for him. Obviously, you know, he's produced good numbers with over 100 tackles this last year, and so I definitely could see him solidifying himself in the mid rounds and being a nice value pick for somebody.
Yeah, because he will go out and he will run a 4.6, and he'll also probably crank out over 30 reps at 225 on the combine, and then he'll do the cone drill, and he'll do that with complete ease.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you people are going to be surprised, and that was one thing when I really started studying him, was he was more athletic and faster than I was anticipating. So I think that he's going to play well in the pre-draft workout. You know, some good football players just don't work out that well, and others are inclined to them, and I think he's one of those guys that has the instincts, and he's going to work out well in these lead up to the draft and do well for himself.
Yeah, I'll throw out a name for you to as a sidebar with Mike Hall, Chris Borland of the 49ers.
Yeah, I can see that, definitely. Yeah. I see a similarity, and, you know, they're both not the tallest of guys, but they make up for it in other ways with instincts and anticipation, and they're quick to read their keys and get in the way and make plays for their defense.
You know, we could do this for the next 2 hours here, but we have to let you go. So thanks so much, Charlie. It's the first of many times, and we really love the website, walterfootball.com.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
All right, Charlie Campbell, walterfootball.com. We will come back.
Okay, that's Charlie Campbell, walterfootball.com. Yes, talking about the NFL draft. Received a note from management. He said, whatever you can do to get this show back on track, the draft will do it. Some reason your ideas weren't big.
That's all right. I've always, you know, moved to the beat of my own drum.
Right now the drum has a hole in it. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
No time for a cold? No worries. Walgreens will help you get the right relief right away. You can count on our wide assortment of Walgreens brand cough and cold relief products for quality and value you can trust. So swing by Walgreens to get in, out, and feeling better fast. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Now with cards, select Walgreens cold and flu relief products are just $9.99. Use as directed.
Please come to Boston for the springtime.
That's right. The Red Sox have opening pitch.
Nice. That was good. Yeah. I couldn't edit spring to summer, so
they dropped the puck in the playoffs too at the TD Garden.
Right. There should be no hockey in June, by the way.
Okay, I forgot we don't deal in your perfect world. Okay. College Football Hall of Fame has made its announcement. Two controversial picks. Jim Tressel was selected to the College Football Hall of Fame. Great run at Youngstown State, where he won four national championships, won an FBS national championship by beating Miami, won 106-22 in his 10 seasons at Ohio State, but, of course, was forced out at the end. Brian Bosworth was also is going to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. I actually interviewed Brian Bosworth one-on-one in Norman a couple weeks before Penn State played Oklahoma in the national championship game. I found him to be highly intelligent, very, very thoughtful. Now, we all know the character, the Boz, overwhelmed the person Brian Bosworth. In the end, he'll be the first one to tell you that. But he was an excellent college football player. Those are two controversial ones. People are wondering now what this is going to do, for example, of the candidacies down the road of Eric Dickerson, Reggie Bush, people like that. Others elected, Bill Snyder, the head football coach at Kansas State, Trev Alberts, who played linebacker at Nebraska, Arizona State middle linebacker Bob Brunig, Sean Brewer played defensive end at Millsaps in Division III, Pitt offensive tackle Reuben Brown, the outstanding Florida wide receiver Wes Chandler, Joe Theismann's wideout that helped him so much, Tommy Gatewood, gets in, Yale running back Dick Geron. And he was a heck of a running back at Yale. Dick Geron was. Clint Jones, part of Duffy Doherty's Michigan State team in the mid-60s. They played in that epic 10-10 game with Notre Dame. Clinton Jones, and went on to play in the NFL with the Vikings. Washington offensive tackle Lincoln Kennedy. Michigan running back Rob Lytle, who did fumble on the one-yard line in the Rose Bowl that nobody caught. Marshall quarterback Michael Payton. Well, I'll tell you, this guy, Texas Tech middle linebacker Zach Thomas. Penn State opened the 95 season against Texas Tech in Beaver Stadium. Penn State won it on a Brett Conway field goal at the end. And people thought Penn State would roll over and take care of Texas Tech. This guy was unbelievable. He was all over the field, had a great career with the Miami Dolphins. Quote, undersized, but not the heart and not the instincts. Kentucky defensive end Art Still. Penn State lost one game in the 1977 season, and it was to Kentucky 24-20, and Art Still was a one-man defensive wrecking crew. Had an excellent career in the pros with the Kansas City Chiefs, but, again, those are the guys that have been elected to the College Football Hall of Fame. Art Still, Zach Thomas, Michael Payton, Rob Lytle, Lincoln Kennedy, Clinton Jones, Dick Geron, Tommy Gatewood, Wes Chandler, Reuben Brown, Sean Brewer, Bob Brunig, Trev Alberts, Bill Snyder, Jim Tressel, and Brian Bosworth. They officially go in on December 8th at the Waldorf. I'm sorry, we were talking football there, just in case you were. No. Next half hour, we will have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. your calls at 800-795-9565. Now, maybe I'm wrong about the Olympics being... Yeah, it's just my opinion. It has nothing to do with whether I'm right or wrong.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you about...
I just prefer to see him someplace else.
I understand what you're saying. If you look at it from a Bostonian's point of view, maybe they don't want it because of the congestion that's going to be there. But as an American, as somebody who wants to go to the Olympics, you're darn right I want to see it here.
Put it in Toronto. Close enough.
No. I don't want to have to, I don't want to have a passport to go see it.
No, I want something where the degree of difficulty of you getting it back into the country is high.
I don't want to have a passport to see it.
There's certain things, I mean, Boston brings to the table. They have TD Garden, so they've got a world-class arena to begin with. They have, obviously, several areas you can play the soccer tournament at. That'll be no issue whatsoever. The rowing events on the Charles River will be picturesque. The marathon from Hopkinton to Copley Square.
What if they ran the Boston Marathon route?
That's what I think they'll do.
I wouldn't that be cool if they actually ran the Boston Marathon route as the Olympic Marathon?
Well, what route do you want them to run? From Falmouth to...
I don't know. No, but I'm just saying. I don't know if they plan on doing that or not, but it would seem like a cool thing.
Do. Of course they do. You want to know why? They already know how to do it.
It's already taken care of. They already have the signs.
You don't sit there and reinvent the wheel. Hey, you know what? I know everybody goes Hopkinton to Copley Square, but you know what? We're the Olympics. Let's run it from Providence to Foxborough.
Maybe you could run... Hey, what if they ran the route? What if they ran the route similar to that of... Paul Revere.
So from the North Church to Lexington?
Well, I mean, it would obviously have to be a little longer than that, but...
I mean, Revere got captured. He didn't even finish
it. One of the three guys made it.
Samuel Prescott made it. It bothers you, I know that.
I would hope so. You got a high-quality education.
William Dawes was the third, by the way.
I watch the History Channel.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is Friday. You have two NFL playoff games tomorrow, along with the FCS National Championship game. You have two NFL playoff games coming up on Sunday. You have the National Championship game on Monday night. You need to stock up. Might I strongly and in no uncertain terms suggest to you Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection in beer. They also have snacks, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And they have, of course, the pickle bar, which is second to none. Love the barrel pickles, but they have a wide variety there as well. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin and the Chief, Dave Ritchie, have basketball tonight. Chickalimmie, I believe they're playing Northwest this evening. Or excuse me, they're playing Midwest this evening.
Yep, Midwest. They just had. They just left. Went out the door. So I'm here.
Man, it's great to have you here, Sarah. By the way, my new Facebook friend, as a matter of fact.
Right on your birthday. I thought that was a good present for everyone.
Very nice. Loved it. And which person was driving?
Ooh, I'm not sure, but I think we all know who we hope is driving.
Yes. And again, we look to the heavens and say, please, make it be the Chief. All right. Let's take a look at the Pittsburgh sports scene. Let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome back. It's great to have you with us in 2015.
Happy New Year to you guys. I don't think I've spoken to you since the New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. The Steelers, of course, are done. Are Brett Kiesel, Troy Polamalu, and James Harrison done?
That's a good question. Harrison really is a guy who I think that maybe you know, that answer may be a no. He had the best season of those guys. Kiesel was having a strong season, but I think Brett Kiesel served his purpose. He came in, gave them a veteran presence on the line that allowed Stephon Tuitt to work his way into the NFL, and it kind of ended up, you know, meshing very well. When Kiesel got hurt, really gave Tuitt a chance to step in and play, and he played very well over the last month and a half of the season. So I think Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt are the two bookend defensive ends for the Steelers as they go forward. James Harrison played well enough to provide this team with some depth next year, certainly, if he's so inclined. I think they'd be happy to have him back. He played better, frankly, than he has in about 3 years. His last season with Pittsburgh, I thought he was better this year than he was then, and he was far better this year than he was last year with the Bengals. They need outside linebackers. Jarvis Jones is the only guy currently under contract for next year. Arthur Motes signed a one-year deal when he came in with them. He gave them some decent depth on the outside and on the inside. And Jason Worlds is an unrestricted free agent. Ryan Shazier potentially could move outside, although Mike Tomlin kind of downplayed that notion at the end of the season. So I think Harrison's probably in play. Ike Taylor's at the end of his contract. He almost certainly will not be back. He could very well be done playing football. And then you look at Troy Polamalu. You know, it's hard for me, Steve, to see him back again. I just think the injuries have taken such a toll on his body. He just hasn't been able to be healthy for long enough stretches to make it worthwhile for the team to bring him back. He does have 2 years left on his deal, but it was really a deal that were, you know, most of that money was up front. It was geared to make him cap hospitable for his first year, and then it gets a little bit tougher as the contract goes on. So, you know, I think a couple of those guys could be back, and I think Harrison may be the most likely one, to be honest with you.
Steelers a year ago were 8-8. This year, 11-5. Do you like the direction of the Steelers, or was this year an aberration?
No, I do like the direction of this team. I think they spent 2 years trying to rebuild. They were 8-8 in both of those seasons, and quite frankly, 2 years ago, they were within a missed field goal from being an 8-8 playoff team. This team was 11-5. Like I said, they have very little tinkering to do on the offensive side. I think mainly they're looking at depth on offense moving into next year. They've got a big problem to fix defensively, and that's in the secondary. And then the rest of the issues they have are the same kind of issues I think that most teams have in today's, you know, salary cap driven NFL. I think they are moving in the right direction. They need to do so quickly, though, because they've got a quarterback who is in, you know, well into his 30s, and franchise quarterback is everything. So, you know, I think Roethlisberger still has some good years left, though, and I think they have some time, and I think they are headed in the right direction. But a couple of bad moves in the offseason can derail you, so they need to continue to go forward. But I think if you're a Steelers fan, certainly they sit in a much better position today than they did 365 days ago.
They have to sign him, though. He has 1 year left in his deal.
Yeah, and that's going to be probably the biggest move for the Steelers to make in the offseason. I think it's more an issue of when, not if. You know, they re-sign Roethlisberger, and how many years? You know, they're probably looking at $20 million a year for this guy, just based on what other quarterbacks in his, you know, in of his ilk are going to get or have gotten. He's 32 years old. You know, can he play four more seasons? Boy, that puts him at 36, and that seems like an old guy playing quarterback to me. But I think he's coming off one of his best seasons. So. If they can protect him like they did this past year, he bought into the Todd Haley offense, and they signed Haley for another 2 years. You know, I think they'll go ahead and spend some pretty good money on Roethlisberger. And the other issue is they've got money to spend now, whereas 2 years ago they did not. How they spend it will be the interesting thing.
After 11 years plus, we've now mastered how to say Roethlisberger's last name. Now we have to somehow, on the pirate side, master the name of Younghoe Kang from Korea.
And, you know, this is another interesting deal. They paid $5 million just to get the rights to negotiate with this guy. He's a shortstop. Kang is a shortstop in Korea, a power-hitting shortstop in Korea. Most of the major league analysts tend to think he's probably not a shortstop in the major leagues, probably a second baseman or perhaps a third baseman. His range may not be good enough to play shortstop on a day-to-day basis in the major leagues. And I think a lot of people are talking about him as it, you know, maybe a year or two before he can become a full-time starter in the major leagues as well as he makes that adjustment. But the Pirates would love to have this guy as a backup. He can back up all three of those positions we just talked about, second, short, and third. And you can really give them some options then as they move forward, looking at, you know, Neil Walker. They have not yet come to any kind of an agreement on a long-term contract with Walker. And obviously, you know, third base, even though Josh Harrison had a very good season last year, who knows if he can replicate that. And who knows how long Jordy Mercer can be, you know, can be an everyday shortstop. He's coming off a good season as well, but this gives them options at potentially all three of those positions. If they sign him, January 20th is the deadline they have to sign him, or else he'll go back to Korea.
And Gabby Sanchez is signed in Japan.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Well. I believe Gabby Sanchez has signed a contract in Japan. So that frees up a roster spot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, exactly. The Pirates, I guess, have made the commitment to at least try to go forward with Pedro Alvarez as the everyday first baseman. And to be honest with you, Steve, I think they've maybe made the decision that even a bad Pedro at first base is as good as an everyday Gabby Sanchez / Ike Davis. Those guys just didn't produce in the long run for the Pirates, and that's to me one of their biggest question marks. They have a name there, you know, at first base, but who knows if he's going to be able to produce.
Penguins watched their game with the Bruins the other night. Good game, good hockey game. Lost it in overtime in the Bergeron goal. Whether or not the stick was above the crossbar or not, it doesn't matter. They still lost the game in overtime. What's your thoughts on the current play of the Penguins right now?
You know, they're still sitting in first place in the Metropolitan Division. They're still near the top of the Eastern Conference, but they're not scoring. And when you've got Sidney Crosby and you've got Evgeny Malkin, who frankly is having one of his best seasons, you've got to be producing more offense, and they just haven't been doing that. Whether it's a slump or whether it's an issue that they have to go fix, I guess time will tell. But I think that's the biggest concern right now, is that they're not producing enough offense given the talent that they have. And they're starting to get players back. They had that Mumps issue where they lost about five players, five different guys lost significant time to the Mumps. That seems to be finally in the rearview mirror. And they had a lot of injury issues. Guys are coming back almost day to day now. So they are getting healthy again. And maybe that will, provide a little bit more offense. But right now, that is their biggest issue. They're not scoring. But again, you know, they're sitting at the top of the division. They're playing well in the regular season for the most part. These are sort of nitpicky type issues, and it's the same story with this team, whether it's a new coaching staff or not. Let's see what they do in the spring. That's how we're evaluating this team. That's where the bar is.
How has Fleury played? I mean, I know it's January, so I mean he's sort of we always used to have a saying in New England before the Red Sox started winning World Series. When the leaves fall, so do the Red Sox. Okay, when the leaves bloom, so the flower doesn't.
That's really been his story. He probably had a better postseason last year than the players in front of him did.
Yeah.
He had two shutouts in that series against the Rangers that they lost. I don't know if you could consider that, you know, a definitive bounce back playoff for him, being that the team lost in two rounds. It's hard to do that. But he has played well. He has probably had certainly his best regular season in at least a few years, if not his best regular season of his career. He has six shutouts. That's his career high. He's got that at the midway point this season. And he really is playing well. He seems like a very confident player. Coaching staff feels like it's the players in front of Fleury, not so much Fleury. At least that's what they said. That's why they decided to sign him to a long-term extension. They really put their faith in him. And, again, you know, it's the same kind of a thing. You know, just like you said, when the leaves, you know, when the trees bloom, he doesn't. The big test for him is and will always be in the spring, in the playoffs.
As always, Tony, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Great to hear you again.
Very much enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll wrap up for the week in a moment here on News Radio 1070 W. Make one move and the bumper music improves. All right. Welcome back. Final segment of the show for the week. Hope you've enjoyed the week. We had a blast all week bringing it to you. I know that. Hope you enjoyed Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com, because we got into the swing of the NFL draft today. We also enjoyed having Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, on today. Greg Pickle from Fight On State yesterday. James Franklin and Jack Ham on Wednesday's show. Not a bad week. Next week, more of the same. As a matter of fact, our goal, make each week better. Thus, the move to make this an Olympic-free, Indy-free zone. No, I'm just kidding. So, here we are. Down the stretch, it'll be Ohio State, Oregon. We'll talk more about that on Monday. The NFL playoffs come up tomorrow and also on Sunday. A lot of people talking about the Cowboys-Packers matchup. And I know, obviously, you'll get all the Ice Bowl stuff and blah, blah, blah. I actually watched the Ice Bowl. It's not really mythology to me. It was actually a real game. And but you have the Packers and the Cowboys. On paper, the marquee matchup of the weekend. I think Ravens and Patriots is a great matchup, too. Not so sure about Carolina and Seattle. Not so sure. But I think Indianapolis and Denver will be a really good matchup because, again, Peyton Manning is not playing that well right now. The Broncos at the moment, unless we see something different, right now are built on a defense which they worked very hard in the offseason to improve, and they are better, and a running game. Maybe the 2 weeks was what Peyton Manning needed. Andrew Luck has a team that's a good team around him, not a great team. He does a lot with less. Reggie Wayne, obviously, is a great receiver. T.Y. Hilton's really, really good. And I like Fleener, the tight end, a lot. Offensive line's okay. Running game is okay. Defense is good, not great. Ravens played a great game and were the better team against the Steelers last week. It goes by a week-by-week basis. Last week, they were the better team. Flacco appears to be playing with a heart rate of 75 the entire time. Running game, not bad. Defense playing pretty well. Wideout's good, but the area where the Patriots are better would be on defense. Brady's Brady. Gronk is having a huge year. Edelman has played really well. He would be to the Patriots now what Wes Welker used to be. But Gronk is in a category all his own. He's going to be very tough for anybody to handle. The Patriots' defense is better. Baltimore's defense is good. Whiteout's really good. Flacco outstanding. Seattle, Carolina, it's not a great matchup. Carolina's defense is excellent. That's why when the Steelers shredded them down in Charlotte back in September, I was impressed because those two linebackers, Davis and Luke Kuechly, are really good. They have a running game now, but Cam Newton, to his credit, playing hurt. Got to give him a lot of credit for that. He playing hurt after that truck accident. But Russell Wilson, again, same thing. Heart rate of maybe 60 for Russell Wilson. The Wilson mobility is so important to what Seattle does. That's where... When you look at Jim Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh is going to Michigan. Jim Harbaugh mismanaged Colin Kaepernick. I'm sorry, but I don't understand why other people don't spell these things out in no uncertain terms. Kaepernick is an incredible weapon with his legs, and he converted him into a pocket passer. You got to take the reins off of guys. There's a short shelf life to begin with. Short shelf life. And do I think Harbaugh is a good coach? Yeah, I think he's a good coach. Do I think he's the second coming? No. I don't. But I think he makes the division more interesting. But he's not the be-all, end-all. By the way, did you see Jonathan Martin? 49ers offensive tackle. Yes, the Jonathan Martin that got into it with Richie Incognito last year. Was at a Los Angeles shopping center Thursday when he saw a person grab three purses from a Versace store and attempted to run. Didn't even think, he said. I just reacted. It wasn't until later when my friend said, hey, he could have had a gun. I didn't even think about that. I just wanted to help out. He tackled the dude. He tackled the dude. Prevented the robbery. And Sarah, you know darn well, you would have tackled over Versace.
Absolutely.
Kevin thinks it's Versace. He's in the car right now, and I know he's looking at Dave, and he's saying, you know, I'm listening here. I can hear all this. But yes, Jonathan Martin, crime fighter, preventing robberies. All right, picks. Picks for the weekend. Chalk holds. You'll disagree with me on Patriots-Ravens, and you should, Sarah. The Ravens are your team, and I think it's one of the best matchups of the weekend. I'll pick the Patriots, but I know you'll pick the Ravens.
I sure will. Just out of hope.
Of course you will. Well, not, but more than hope. Your team plays great on the road. Your quarterback is the coolest cat in the building and plays his best football at this time of the year. That's a 50-50 game. That's a 50-50 game. I'm going to lean to the Patriots in a 50-50 game, in part because it's at Gillette, but the Ravens have won at Gillette. I'm going to go with Seattle to beat Carolina. I think they'll beat them comfortably, as a matter of fact. I'm going to pick the Packers at Green Bay. Now, here you have the Cowboys at 8-0 on the road against the Packers, who are 8-0 at home. The weather is going to be, I think, 9 degrees or something like that at kickoff, which that'll be fine. I'll go with Green Bay. The key to that game, if the Packers can slow down DeMarco Murray, they can win the game. If Murray dominates the game and keeps Rodgers off the field because they're eating clock and gaining yards, that becomes a Green Bay problem. The Green Bay defense is okay. The wideouts for Green Bay are outstanding. Rodgers is unbelievable. Eddie Lacy and Starks, good 1-2 punch. Corliss, really good tight end. Offensive line has played really well. Offensive line is going to have to play great. They need to protect Rodgers because the calf isn't completely right. But I'll still pick Green Bay at home. Denver and Indianapolis. Indianapolis has the advantage at quarterback. I think at this moment, Luck is better than Manning. Of all the games this weekend, this is the one where I could see the road team winning. Road team may win 3 out of 4. But I'm going to pick all the home teams. I'm going to go with Denver. I think Denver can survive this round. But they're going to have to survive. I think Indianapolis will play well. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And, of course, they have the unbelievable pickle bar. Stock up for the weekend with football, and more football. It's going to be cold. Stock up now. That way just go right down to the fridge and pull out the next bottle. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And our thanks, as always, 100 incredible years, Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Talk to you on Monday. Look forward to it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Have a great weekend, everybody.